Blog Talk Radio.
Hello world, hear the song that we're singing. Come on, get happy. A whole lot of loving is what we'll be bringing. We'll make you happy.
Hey, a new theme song tonight. What do you think about that one, Donna?
I almost started laughing when I heard it.
Yeah, I told you I had a surprise tonight. Hey, everybody, welcome to the HR Happy Hour. This is Steve Bowes. With me, as always, Shauna Markey, the HR Minion. How are you doing tonight, Shauna?
Oh, much better after hearing that.
Feeling good, right? Feeling happy?
That was great.
This is episode 8, HR and Sports, or Sports and HR. We're really excited about tonight's show. We've got a great lineup of guests, and we're going to talk about sports, HR, the intersection, or perhaps we'll just talk about some of my favorite teams.
You're not going to be in the minority.
I know. It's really a male-dominated show tonight, and after last week's little debacle with the singing and just the chaos that ensued with all the women on the show, I felt like I had to get back into control of the show. So, let me quickly get our guest introduced. I'd like to introduce our first guest. Let me just try to bring him in here. That's right. We have Chris Dunn, the HR capitalist. How are you doing tonight, Chris?
Doing good. What's up? Hey, I like the intro music. Thank you for that. I think I'll take that on the stadium tour.
You like that? Yeah. I figured that would fit you for your grand entrance to the show. Welcome back to the show. And
thank you.
Thanks for joining
good to be
us
here.
Tonight. I have
yeah,
also
I'm doing,
with
doing good.
Great. We also have, hang on. Hey, we have Todd Kamik here with us tonight. Todd, I don't know if that was your theme song, but I picked it for you. How are you doing tonight, Todd?
I appreciate that. The Dirty Deeds. We'll have to read into that one.
Yeah.
I'm doing
great. Thanks for joining us tonight, Todd. One more intro here tonight. I'm not going to play that whole thing because no one knows what that is, but that's Tracy Tran's song. How are you doing, Tracy?
That is so nice. Doing great. That is so nice. That is my theme song. That is so sweet. Now I feel more good to talk.
You struck me as easy to please, Tracy.
All right. You know, that, of course, inspired by Chris's post today about rock intro music. Hey, I got one more caller on the line, and I'm hoping this is our fourth guest. I'm going to bring him up right now. Hi, area code 503.
Steve, this is Lance.
Lance, how you doing, buddy?
Hey.
Lance Vaughn, your HR guy. Lance, hang on for a second. Make your entrance.
Very cool.
All right. Everybody's in. Everybody got their theme music. How you guys doing tonight?
Good.
Doing good. Steve, you're going to keep going with that on the show, aren't you? I mean, I think I would call in every week just to hear different theme songs for your guests.
I'll tell you something. Every time, you know, and I think what I might do is, like, if you make a good point, Chris, I'll just, you know, bang it back up again for a second or, you know, Lance.
Nice.
If
I like
Lance
it.
Make a funny comment, we'll break a little thunderstruck back out again. We could do it all show.
Can we start a wave amongst the listeners?
Yeah, I told you. The improvements never stop to this show. We're not staying in one place. We are
no resting on laurels for us.
Hey, Steve. Hey, I'm going to ask you a question. When are you going to get your first caller that's going to call in and complain that you have an HR show and we're actually incorporating sports? I'm going to put the over under on at about 6 minutes.
Yeah, I don't know.
Really?
I tell you, we've been lucky so far with there haven't been too many complaints. Most of it, honestly, I've gotten a few complaints by email, but no complaints over the phone live just yet. But it could happen because I think, you know, we might be alienating half of our fan base tonight with the sports show. But
maybe a little bit more than half, but there are women who like sports, I'll have you know.
Yeah, but I think it's a great theme. I did, and I know, Chris, you write about it a lot, and Lance does sometimes as well. And, you know, certainly we've all talked about it quite a bit, so I just thought it made sense to do a sports show. And,
well, I think the reason I asked the question, Steve, is just because I've gotten a lot of complaints, like, through the last couple of years just about writing, you know, and trying to weave, you know, talent themes with sports. And every time I get a complaint, I mean, I get it if someone's not into sports, but I guess just to start the discussion, I mean, I don't think there's a more transparent world of talent issues, whether it's money, employee relations, et cetera, et cetera. There's no more transparent world than sports. It just makes sense to write about it.
Yeah. No, I totally agree, especially on the transparency part. I mean, you know, a couple of months ago maybe, or maybe it's just an ongoing theme. I know there's a lot of writing going on about salary transparency in organizations and whether or not you should just be open and honest about your pay grades and what people are making, you know, next to you, down the hall from you and whatnot. And most people tend to be against that, right, in the corporate world, or it seems like the majority, right? And but in sports, right, everybody knows what everybody else is making. It's pretty much public knowledge.
Exactly, yeah.
And you should write about what you know anyway. And if you know sports and you know HR, it makes sense to talk about both.
Yeah, I'm not sure
how much I know about sports. I just think it's an easy comparison to make, and I don't know. I just, I'm always amazed when people complain. I mean, you know, they can go read another blog. I mean, I don't get it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, no, definitely, and I think there's a lot of lessons. So, you know, I guess I'll just open it up with that. What kind of lessons, you know, we mentioned transparency, Chris. What other lessons can you see here that can be broadly applied from, you know, sports in general, professional sports, that can be applied to, you know, managing people, managing organizations, you know, building teams in the workplace? What kind of other things, parallels, would you see?
This Lance here, and I think employee relations is just a huge part, and I think that's one of the main takeaways, I think, that I get from it. And I was thinking back to was it last season when Donovan McNabb was benched, but nobody told him for the second half until, like, he went to go on to take the field? I mean, you know, I think about many situations where I've had a manager who basically McNabbed their employee and, you know, pulled him off the camp without telling him until you know, later on. So I think, like, situations like that translate well.
Yeah, bad manager, bad coach, same thing. Same thing, good manager, good coach, right?
Right, exactly.
You know, you see guys out there that can manage any team successfully and that go from team to team or organization to organization successfully. And you got managers up and down the spectrum out there that, you know, can't manage at all. And others that can relate to all of their employees really well and are successful everywhere they go.
Yeah, you know, that's an interesting point. It made me think of something I wanted to bring up tonight and ask the group about. You see a lot in sports about a manager or a coach, you know, depending on the sport, that has a certain style, right? Maybe in football they have an offense that they like to run. And, you know, they go to a new team maybe, and maybe the players on that team are not quite cut out. They don't have the skill set. They weren't brought in on that style, and some managers or coaches have a hard time adapting their style to suit the talent that they have versus other ones who can't, you know, can sort of modify what they're doing to fit the talent. I wonder if that's, you see that in the corporate world as well.
I like to think of Lance as the Bill Parcells of HR. Just with his style, you know, he kind of goes in and domineers the situation, right, Lance?
That's
I'm not going to take that one.
He's not going to take it.
Did you cut somebody on the first day just to make a point, right? Where,
yeah.
30
That's
minutes
right.
to fire someone.
Yeah, call me Big Sturgeon.
you gotta set the tone early, right?
Right.
The one of the other things I thought about when we were talking about sports show was the idea of team building. And I know, Chris, you wrote about this this week, right? You posted about role players and stars and sort of perceptions in the workplace of who's a star and who's a role player. And I definitely think there's a lot of parallels between successful teams, I mean really successful teams, championship-type teams, that and the balance that they have between star players and role players. And everybody sort of understanding where they fit in on that. And I wonder if you might want to just talk a little bit about that.
Well, I went back to that Business Week or the piece that was in Business Week that said that 90% of the workforce, and this was a research piece and that was cited in Business Week a couple of years back, 90% of the workforce thinks that they're in the top 10% of all performers. So I think you're right. I think that it's fascinating that sports, you know, just by talent and who's getting the carries or who's getting the shots, who has the long-term contract, sports does a better job, obviously, than the workplace in general of defining roles and figuring out who the stars are, figuring out who the role players are, if only it were that easy in the workforce, right, because it never is.
Well, it doesn't, and I'm going to jump in here on that, doesn't salary transparency have a lot to do with that? I mean, that – ultimate capitalist principle kind of comes into play there. I mean, if the team isn't going to pay you more than, you know, guy number two on your team, you know, hey, you know exactly where you rank. And so, it kind of puts that out there right in front of you every single day. You go to ESPN.com, I could look up anybody's NBA salary right now. That kind of ranks you right there.
Well, I think, Lance, you probably have those memorized, so you probably don't have to look it up, right?
Yeah.
And I guess just to jump on Lance's point.
Million.
Hey, to jump on Lance's point real quick, you know, I'm generally on the record as being against full transparency in the workforce. And his point is well taken, that a lot of that slotting, role player versus star, happens because of transparency of pay and contracts in sports. Now, here's the tricky part. The tricky part is in an organization, a sports organization, you've got one, maybe two, maybe at the most three voices of authority that are going to send the message and set the tone. You get to an organization with 1,000 people, all of a sudden you got 40 managers that have to handle the conversations and the challenges about all those employee relations issues that go down with full transparency. And that's why I can't take the full transparency argument in the workplace. I like it in sports, and I get Lance's point, but generally the people who call for full transparency are the ones that don't have to deal with the employee relations issues in the workforce.
I'd jump in there and just say, like, I mean, I guess that's probably, to me, that's one of the reasons why it is more difficult in the workplace to help people understand where they are, why 90% of people thinking they're in the top 10%. I just think that's the cause. I'm not saying that necessarily transparency is a solution, but at least in pro sports, I think it's definitely part of the solution. Is that, I mean, nobody, you know, everybody knows Brandon Roy is going to be the best paid basketball player on the Blazers, and nobody questions that. And it fits in line with everything else.
And Lance, I like that. So I'm actually like coming to the middle a little bit on the whole transparency argument, because I think you make a great point in terms of sports sets that, you know, that role player versus star thing up very well. I guess the thing where it always gets problematic is that in the general workforce with all these different roles, you know, Brandon Roy, you know that he's going to get a certain amount of points per game. He's going to shoot a certain percentage from the field. You get to the workforce, and the relative value, right, for your dollars starts degrading really quick. And I think that's where, you know, the transparency thing kind of loses it. But I'm with you. I wish, you know, if transparency could cause you to define role players versus stars and you could, like, work that out like you could in sports, what a great world it would be in the workplace, because you wouldn't have a lot of the issues that you do.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Just let me make a... Go ahead,
Tracy. Yeah, no, I was saying, like, as I mentioned, Chris made a good point about, like, it's good to have transparency, but there's also, like, a lot of noise. Like, in a corporate world, there's a lot of noise. As I mentioned, like, there's 1,000 people and 40 managers. How can you differentiate between those 40 managers? Like, do you depend on the statistics, looking at the numbers? So there's a lot of discrepancy, and also the other variables is a little bit difficult. But I do agree that there's some transparency might be involved. It might be effective, but it's a lot harder in the corporate world to determine that.
Good, great point. Let me just make a couple of quick statements. The call-in number, if anybody who's listening wants to call in and jump in, is 646-378-1086, and press 1 on your phone if you want to jump into the conversation. If you're on the line and hanging out and want to come on, just be patient. As we're talking about stars and role players, I got an all-star panel here, so it's going to be hard to muscle them around to get more folks on the line, but I'll do my best. So there's been a few folks who bailed out on me here who wanted to come on, I think. So just be patient. We'll get you on. And if you're hanging out on Twitter tonight, the hashtag for the show is HR Happy Hour. HR Happy Hour. You can shoot out a couple tweets, and we'll keep an eye on those as well. There have been a few. I saw a NASCAR tweet earlier, and I wasn't prepared to talk much about NASCAR, but I guess we could if we figured out an angle here to talent management and human resources. But yeah, I want to throw one out to Tracy and Todd specifically, because you guys are in recruiting, you're recruiters, and I wanted to talk a little bit about the idea of recruiting, and the relationship to sports certainly is the draft, right? And at least in pro sports, and just when you're looking at jobs and candidates, how much are you looking at potential, the long-term potential of a candidate versus demonstrated performance, stuff that that they've proven that they can do? And are there any parallels that you can see to sports and just your recruiting business?
Yeah, on the potential side, this is Tracy speaking. On the potential side, that's more likely towards like the entry level and entrance people. You just go to job fairs and just scout around colleges and looking at what people are interested, what fields they want to go into, and what are their strengths right now. So that's mostly the potential, and most likely we're looking at if they really like the industry and they have the potential skill set. On the past performance, you're looking at more of the mid-level to executive level, senior level, executive level people, and see if they've done well with other organizations, if there's positive word, they have a great word of mouth, if they have a presence in that organization, and all that information.
Right.
Yeah. I think it feeds into your role player versus star argument. When you're recruiting, it depends on what role you're trying to fill. So, we'll get lots of roles where you are trying to fill the role player. The people who are slotted where they're slotted in, and you get a lot of roles where you're trying to find the star. So it's just a matter of what you're trying to accomplish and what the assignment is.
Right. So, Todd, your clients right now, they're pretty clear about what they're looking for. You're not going to present, let's say, a stretch candidate maybe to a client on the basis of, hey, this candidate's got a lot of potential, I think you should look at him, or you're really just looking at performance for most of your
No, role. We're really looking at what the client wants to fill specifically. So, we will get things where the role is not for a star player. It's definitely a role player, and a lot of times the recruiters will be sending in candidates for these jobs that are too high level. And sometimes that's hard to explain. They'll say this guy can do the job. Yeah, we know he can do the job, but he's not going to mesh with the team, and he's not going to fit into the right spot with the team that the client's looking for here. So, it's all about finding the right fit for wherever they're supposed to be. It's like you're looking for a two guard and you're sending them point guards. You can't do it.
Right.
You have to find the right fit. And in my case, I deal with nonprofits and associations. And those are a very different type of people and different type of atmosphere. So I'm looking for people who really care about an issue, like if they have past performance and have potential, but if they really are dedicated to like a certain issue, like say education or energy or defense, mm-hmm. and if they want to really take a role, a lesser salary than the normal the regular corporations or the private sector.
Right. Yeah. Todd brought up something that made me think of another question I wanted to ask. And he talked about sort of maybe the idea of someone kind of outshining the group or sort of rising up. You guys seen any kind of parallels there between say employee maybe who's made a name for themselves externally, whether through speaking engagements, blogging, social networking of some kind, and kind of is maybe rising above, maybe becoming so much of a personality on their own right, and the implications that might have to their fit inside the organization with the other folks, just the regular rank and file employees. Are you guys seeing any of that, or think that could happen, especially in this day and age where everybody's got a platform to promote themselves with?
Yeah, I think it certainly can happen. There's a lot of the jealousies that go on at certain levels in different companies. So if you've got somebody who's starting to, from the outside move themselves ahead, and you get into the whole money thing there, they're going to start to feel they deserve more money. The other people are going to be jealous of whatever they're able to accomplish. I think you can run into big trouble there.
You guys, Chris or Lance, you guys do anything in your organizations to try to keep an eye on what people are doing, maybe outside of the organization and socially with blogs or speaking engagements? Do you care?
Well, hey, this is Chris, and I'm lucky to be working for a company. My company's called Daxco. It's a company I work for. And I'm lucky to be working for a company that really encourages people to be active in social media within their professional domain, if you will, and really encourages thought leadership. So I know that's not the case in a lot of places. I guess a couple of quick observations. When I wrote the post on role player versus star, it's kind of based on a real light internal training / conversation we did. And one of the things that came up that I thought was interesting, because I heard jealousy mentioned, was the question. We were talking about role players and stars. When we started talking about the definition of a star, one of the things that came up within the team members that were in this conversation, it's about 25 of them, one of the things that came up was the motivation of the star in the organization. And the question was if they were truly driven by their own performance or they were simply driven by ego. Which I thought was a pretty interesting question for really any organization, because apart from sports, if you're a star and you're providing more value than the role player, let's assume that's true. I'm not sure it really even matters if they're driven by ego or some other type of motivation. But back to your point, I'm lucky to be working for an organization that encourages it, and I'm not sure about Lance. I'll flip it to him.
Yeah, I'm in the same type of situation, and I guess my personal philosophy on that is, if you've got somebody that's making a name for themselves within their field that works for your organization, that's good for the organization. That helps the organization rise in prominence, and exploit is probably the right word, but use it to their advantage. I think that's a huge advantage.
Hey, and Steve, let me jump in off what Lance said. Let me give you an example in sports. LeBron James. So that's an unbelievable example, because LeBron James, last year of his contract, he's made a name for himself. He may leave. He may go to New York or wherever he will go. So really,
go to New York, but we're hoping he goes to New York. But go ahead.
You're hoping he becomes a Nick, right? So you've got the LeBron James of your organization who's starting to make a name for himself. And really, everybody, when somebody makes a name for themselves and they become a little more renowned in whatever their field is, it's really up to the organization to try and capitalize on that momentum. So, like, my goal, if I wasn't working for the organization I work for and I saw someone kind of naturally rise, my goal would be, hey, I've got to take advantage of that momentum as a recruiter as much as I can. I got to get I got to get the best talent, hopefully better talent for the same money, because that guy or gal's there, and I got to try and drum up the talent as much as I can. And then if he or she leaves, fine, but I've got to execute like in that 1 to 2 year window to get people excited about working with that person and to really execute on what that person brought to the table.
That's a great point. I got a follow up question to that. You know, and you gave the LeBron James example, and I'll just, you know, keep riffing on that. You know, LeBron, you know, is going to get treated differently than the rest of the team, right? He's the star, he's the top player. He's going to get a big suite on the road, might get a private jet, flying his family out to road trips, whatever the case may be. You know, in the corporate world, you know, do you see any of that? Or is there a place for that? Is there a place for any kind of differential or different treatment for your those star players versus the role players?
Boy, it's tough. It's tough because a lot of times, you know, we'll have recruiting assignments and we'll be looking for, you know, supposedly they'll say they want a star, but you find a star and they're more expensive than the rest of the team, and you're going to upset the charts internally, and they can't hire them at that high a level. So I don't know that you can get as far askew as you can in sports.
Right.
It's basically like I wouldn't say the salary cap, but it's like baseball. Like, I just know one example, Mark Scherer, last year. Like, he was a free agent, and the Nationals and the Orioles were offering $20 million, and then the Yankees bumped it up and $23 million, and the Orioles and Nats couldn't go up there. So it depends on, yeah, each organization, and it depends on the budget.
Well, I think baseball's a great place to jump off on this too, because I think of the Florida Marlins, who, after they've had successful runs to the World Series and won World Championships, they've basically dismantled their team because they become stars and they become too expensive to continue employing, basically, right? So, it depends on what's important for the organization. I mean, if you're a Steinbrenner, you got the Yankees, and it's important. I mean, to have those stars and have that draw. Or is it important to, you know, if you're a small market team, if you're a small company, if you're a mid-market company, to really capitalize on your success when you get kind of the perfect storm of affordable talent, and then when they get out of your range, to let those guys go and start building for the next window you've got.
You know,
yeah, I'm gonna jump in on Lance and say for that small to medium-sized company that maybe can't afford talent that's proven. You know, the thing I always tell people is that if you're in that situation, really what you got to do is you got to go look for the young talent, and you really have to buy them by giving them the promotion they can't get earlier than their current company can do it. So if they're earning, you know, let's say really junior talent, let's say they're earning, you know, entry level $35,000, and you've got, you know, you basically have to give them a job before they can get it. And you've got to market that, go get them, and then hopefully you can hang on to them for a couple of years before somebody comes along and does it to you.
Yeah, you know, I like that point. One of the things I was going to mention tonight, and was not in the official show notes, so I apologize for that. My Shauna did not make the show notes once again. My lack of preparation is biting us all in the butt again. But
whatever.
I thought about the Pittsburgh Pirates. Right? What have they done this year? What do they do every year? They get a decent player, has some success. They know they can't afford to pay that player in another year or two. They trade him away, right? They basically throw in the towel halfway through the season every season, right? So, you know, they sort of understand their role in the hierarchy of organizations. As Chris was saying, they're a mid-market, small-market team. They can't compete with the Red Sox and the Yankees, but you know, what kind of message does that send to the people who are left behind? You know, maybe not the actual players themselves, but the people who work in the front office and ticket sales, you know, in the stadium, that, you know, we really, you know, we're sort of admitting we can't be a champion. We can't be the best. We're just going to be our middle-of-the-road kind of selves.
Yeah, but see, that's not the case. The organization is flawed. You have the example of the Marlins. The Marlins do it. So, Pittsburgh's not following the right approach, and the smaller companies who have to do it on a different budget, you know, there are models out there of successful companies. I think Chris kind of hit on it with the younger talent, and then if eventually you lose that talent, you've got to rebuild that talent. But there's a model that works for everybody wherever they're slotted.
Hey, and I'm going to jump in and ask the question because I don't know, but it's based off of what you guys just talked about. So, Steve, I go back to the Pirates, and another great example, you know, I'm from Missouri. I pretend to be a Cardinals fan, and I am a Cardinals fan, but I grew up a Royals fan during the George Brett era. So, you know, the Royals, I look at traditionally the A's, you know, who play money ball and have got it done, even though they're not really doing it this year. You see the Marlins do it. So they've got the model. What's different for those teams in the sporting world and the corporate equivalents? What separates the Marlins and the A's from the Pirates and the Royals, who can never seem to get over the hump and even get that 1 to 2 year period where they can kind of bump up and challenge before they've got to dismantle it because they can't afford it? What separates them? It's got to be judgment on talent and timing, doesn't it?
Yeah,
and discipline, probably
talent,
sticking
yeah,
with whatever formula works.
Yeah,
actually, there's two things. One is the personality of the owner. And I heard stories about the Pittsburgh Pirates owner. I believe he's a newspaper guy. And he's like careless. Like, he doesn't really care and just says, let's spend some less money. Let's trade some players for some cheap prospects and that. I think one is the personality of the owner. Like, the owner of the A's and the Marlins do care about winning and care about the future of the team. And the second thing is absolutely, I think it's recruiting, as you mentioned, the scouting and also the coaching combined together. So if you've got the scouting and if you have the right coaches who can develop these players, then your team can be successful for the next 5 to 6 years, and then you reload again following like that. And it's like the corporate workforce right now. Like, people will stay for 2 or 3 years, and then they'll leave, and then the companies have to reload on the employers. They have to reload on talent.
Yeah. And I'll give you guys one quick example, and you guys can dismantle this, because I wrote on this and I got attacked in the comments of my blog. So I'll give you an example in the corporate world of the Florida Marlins, and that example would be Enterprise Rent-A-Car. They spend a lot of money on college recruiting. They fill their pipeline full of young college kids. A lot of them make it. You know, they progress through the organizations. A lot of them leave when they get better opportunities, and they can't get those opportunities internally. But to me, that's an example of an organization that, you know, maybe the Royals should be, you know, doubling the spend of the Yankees in their farm system, you know, and maybe the owner should commit to that and even get more prospects in the system, better prospects, more prospects, so they can weather that storm when people invariably leave. I don't know, but I'm thinking Enterprise is a good example of that farm system model where they're timing it and they're getting the cheap talent, but they're getting a lot of it so they can separate the wheat from the chaff.
Right. And we have clients who will come to us and say, we want people from Enterprise. So they're trained in the street, and there's somebody who's the next level up in the model who wants to pull those people, pay them more, and take them that next step.
Yeah,
right.
And one of the sports parallels to this too would be in college recruiting, and how the mid-major conferences and teams will try to battle for recruits, because they can offer a student, a recruit, the ability to step right in and play an important role right away, be a big star player on the team right now from year one or year two, versus those big Division I schools where you may, you know, ride the pines for 3 or 4 years before you get your shot, because there's, you know, 5 all-state running backs on the roster, you know, already ahead of you. And I think small organizations can definitely try to leverage that same kind of mindset, you know, bring in this young talent and give them an opportunity to have an important role, you know, quicker than they would, you know, at the larger firm.
Yeah, there's no doubt, but you've got to have managers who know what they want to accomplish and how they want to build it. And I don't know if there's a large amount of managers out there who really know exactly the strategy that they want to go about it, unless they're a successful company already and they've got the model in place.
Yeah.
Well, I wonder if it's a matter of intention. I mean, The Kansas City, I mean, Royals and the Pirates probably don't have dummies all working for them. So I'm sure some people in there, I mean, so you could debate that if you want after the show. But, you know, but I mean, there's a model for this. But it's a matter of attention and a matter of realizing where you're at on the totem pole and then going out and doing it and understanding that if you're at that area, it's a matter of numbers. It's a matter of being intentional in the way you recruit. So you know if you're in an up cycle or you're a down cycle, and you know when to spend and when to not spend. It seems like a lot. I mean, the Pirates in particular are just this shiftless minor league organization that have no direction at all. They're terrible. And that's why they're failing, not because they're a small market team, but because they're like, we'll just let go of these guys or let go of these guys. It's like, well, you had like five good players right there. Why don't you try building something up in the next couple of years while they're still cheap?
Yeah, that's a great point. And the funny thing about Pittsburgh, too, is they have, you know, I've been to, you know, a number of stadiums. I know, Chris, you have as well, and maybe some of the other folks on the call. The Pittsburgh Stadium is about the nicest one I've ever been in. It is fantastic.
Yeah.
And I don't know how they can sort of turn that into something more positive than they have.
Well, I got to thank the Pittsburgh Pirates for giving us Nigel Morgan, so I got to thank them for that, though.
Yeah, that's it. Hey, just a quick recap for everyone who might be listening. Again, the caller number is 646-378-1086. If you want to come on the line, press 1 after you call in. If you're on hold and hanging out right now and there are a few people on the line right now, just go ahead and press 1 and I'll know you want to come on the line. Sean, any interesting tweets out there that we should be bringing up on the call and responding to?
Well, people seem to be really liking what you guys are saying. I'm seeing
really?
A lot of retweets of what people are saying and some agreements.
Specifically or one of the guests?
Well, like Tracy and Chris and everyone.
All right, good. Not me then. Okay, good. Okay,
not you.
We do have a caller who wants to come on the line. Let me bring them up right now. Hi, area code 813.
Hey, Steve, it's Mike Vandervoort.
Mike,
hey, Mike.
Hey, Shauna, Chris, Lance, Tracy, Todd, did I get everybody?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, cool. Long list. Hey, I was going to point out the Steve knows that a few of us are out there, HR Maven and myself, are big Red Wings fans. And that's an example, I think, of an organization that is really has a system, and they've got the right talent on the scouting and management side, but they also go out and do some innovative stuff in their talent, in that they go to countries that other teams aren't necessarily scouting in. You know, they started with the Russians a few years ago and moved over into the Scandinavian countries now. So, you know, sometimes you got to, I guess the equivalent in the real world is you got to sometimes look in other places for your talent than necessarily the big pool. You got to go out and find those little pockets of hidden talent as well.
And
right,
I agree with Mike here, and because I think the Red Wings are a great example, because I know the general manager, Ken Holland, is, to me, I think he's the best general manager in sports right now, because before the NHL lockout, he had to deal with an unlimited budget, and then after the lockout, he had to deal with $40 million, and the team is still that dominant. So I give credit to Ken Holland, and I think that's a person who understands how business goes, and he was more proactive on using it. So, yeah, the Red Wings are a great example of how corporations should adjust, like, if you have an unlimited budget to a $40 million budget. So,
yeah, you know, Mike, you make a great point about like, looking for talent in sort of places where the other guys aren't. And, you know, maybe Chris could comment on this, too. You're a medium-sized company, right, Chris? And, you know, maybe you're not out there recruiting at Stanford or MIT, but you've got to find talent maybe in some other place.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, I'm lucky to walk into a situation where we've got a pretty engaged team member base in terms of social media. So, you know, we don't post jobs. You know, we post them on our corporate website, but we don't do Monster. We don't do Career Builder. And, you know, I'm lucky enough to have a good team, but also a lot of managers who are active in things like LinkedIn and Twitter. And, you know, we dig. You know, I've got an active CEO, you know, who will, you know, retweet jobs, and you know, we've made several hires off of that. So, you know, we do what we can. What I would say is that, I guess, you know, I don't want to say we're the Red Wings. How disingenuous does that sound? But what I will say is we've got a really good brand in Birmingham because of the, like, Great Place to Work awards that we've won. So that helps a lot. So I think our CEO, who's been there 5 to 6 years, has kind of valued all the right things and kind of built a culture where, you know, people want to come. So that helps us a lot.
Yeah, do you find, Chris, I'll just ask you this, you mentioned Birmingham, and, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I know you saw this and I did too, there was a list of America's dying cities that came out, and it was one of those lists that was really not very in-depth at all. It was really just looking at, you know, raw population numbers from some city centers or census objects and, you know, determine which cities were losing the most population. I know Birmingham was on that list somewhere, and I know where I'm at, and Rochester was on that list as well. So do you find, you know, in your experience, you have any issues with talent in terms of, you know, bringing them down to Birmingham or keeping them there?
Well, not really. And, you know, a couple of different situations. And real quick, and you alluded to this, I did a post after I think Jennifer McClure retweeted something you wrote. And, you know, we were, like, listed as one of the 10 fastest dying cities, and really what it is, Birmingham's a metro with a population of about 1 million, and the city center that was based on represents about 200,000 of those people. So, you know, and it's a sick, you know, city center, a lot of problems. They're trying to fix it, and, you know, we hope that they do, but the bigger situation's really good. So to answer your question, we've got a really good quality of life here, and I think any organization, whether it's company or sports, has to sell what they have. So when we bring candidates, and Dax goes a little bit smaller, we recruit a little more locally. That'll probably change over time. But when I've been with Fortune 500 companies and been based in Birmingham, you know, you bring them in, and really what you sell is a quality of life. You sell what you have, and, you know, Birmingham's 1 million in the metro area, so you have a good amount of stuff to do, but it's not Atlanta in the southeast, certainly not New York City, it's not D.C., it's not L.A. So what we can attract is, you know what, we can attract the family with kids, so we can get that career professional, and we can sell them on Birmingham. So I think any organization has to sell the opportunity of who they are, and it's kind of like you talked about the mid-majors, right, Steve? You talked about the mid-majors and
right.
Automatic opportunity to play. Hey, whatever that message is, you sell what you have. So we've been able to overcome that, thankfully.
So sell from your strengths. You know, emphasize what makes you great and unique and different and special, and not try to necessarily compete with the other guy on their terms, right?
No, that's true. And then, you know, I don't think this can be, like, understated either. And I'm a big believer, and I think a lot of the people you have on the call tonight can do this, but I'm a big believer that the salesperson, the recruiter, I call him that. I think recruiting is sales, but it's the analogy between the sports agent and the recruiter in the corporate world, or the recruiter in the college sports world. But I think you have to maximize the sell of your organization, whether that's sports or corporate world. And I'm a big believer that the right recruiter and the right person sending that message can really maximize that message and make people who wouldn't ordinarily sign on and be happy to do it.
Hey, Todd, just to, you know, flow through Chris's comment, when you're working and you're looking for candidates and talking to candidates, how much of a unique sort of corporate culture, you know, location, you know, unique features of the client are you bringing out to bear? Are you really at that point really just talking, you know, job requirements, skills, and, you know, and trying to make a match there?
Now, location comes in a lot, you know, and a lot of times more from the client side, where we'll have clients that are in a particular area that is a more difficult sell. But we find most of them are very conscious of that, and they're very conscious of taking somebody who's a fish out of water, somebody from L.A. and moving them to Columbus, Ohio. You know, they want them from a similar area where they're going to be comfortable, so they'll have them for the long haul. So we're talking about geographic location a lot more than you would think we might be.
Really? Stacey, how about you? You selling culture, unique attributes of the client, or are you really just looking, really hunting for skills for the most part? Tracy left us. All right, man. No worries.
No. I'm kind of distracted. Can we repeat the question again?
You're not listening to us, dude. What is the guest?
Oh, show.
Is he going to the fridge?
What are you doing? He's checking out, like, the latest on Alexander Ovechkin, you know, from the CMZ.com or something.
Are we being too boring for you, Tracy?
No, I was a little bit distracted. Someone was calling me, so I apologize. So.
Yeah, no, doesn't they know not to call you when you're on the air and you have a big show, a big appearance? Terrible.
Yeah, I mean, I apologize. I had to step out a little bit, but that's my fault. Totally my fault. I lost my manners there, so.
We'll let you
priorities, Tracy.
Hey, we'll let you go on that one. Hey, listen, you know, I'll bring up sort of my last point I had sort of written down for tonight, which was, and this came up somewhere on a blog post in the last couple of weeks or in a conversation I had with someone, which was, you know, in a corporate world in general, is it sort of like how the whole idea of sports and talking about sports and bonding about sports, does that sort of help perpetuate, you know, the so-called old boys network, you know, in the corporate world? You know, guys hanging around, talking about sports and sort of excluding women or women who are just not that interested in sports just get excluded. Do you guys see any truth to that at all? Or did I just, you know, dream that up to have one more question asked?
I could take that. This is Lance. Yeah, go ahead, Lance. I mean, I think it, I mean, I think that can happen as much as anything. I mean, it can perpetuate it if your culture starts revolving around, you know, knowing sports, that sort of thing. It's obviously going to happen. I mean, do I think in reality it happens that much? I don't know. I mean, I think that varies. It depends. But I mean, you know, I connect with people on a lot of different levels. I know lots of guys that don't know nearly as much about sports as my wife does. So, you know, it might be tougher to connect with them than it would be with a female that knows more about sports. You know, I mean, I don't know. I'm a little bit on the fence about that one.
Yeah.
It's a little bit tough for me because I have actually met a bunch of hockey people over on Twitter, and most of them are ladies, and they're very knowledgeable about hockey, more than me. Like, they know about players. Yeah, from Hershey, and they know the players from the South Carolina Stingrays, and I just don't know one person from those type of organizations. I know a couple from Hershey, but I didn't know any players from South Carolina, so it's very tough to tell. I mean,
I gotta tell you, this has got to be the first for the history of internet radio shows that a South Carolina Stingray mention came out. There couldn't possibly have been any chance of that coming into tonight. Excellent. South Carolina Stingrays. I love it.
I'll kind of mirror what Tracy said there. I mean, almost all of the people I follow on Blazers, Portland Trail Blazers stuff, are females. Probably 70 to 80%.
Wow, that's
are females who are really interested in, and I don't know if that's a Twitter demographic or whatnot, but I mean it's very interesting. Yeah, I mean that might play a part of it, because almost all the bloggers I read about the Blazers are males, so it's kind of an interesting dynamic there.
Hey, and Steve, what's the alternative? You know, and I'm an HR person, so I'm always a little late to call things like political correctness. But is the alternative to simply disengage and not talk about sports because we're going to disenfranchise someone? So I always struggle with that. And I think let's hear from the minion, because I know she can run down a list of things that ladies talk about that I have no clue of. Hit it, minion.
You know, I don't think that talking about sports at work is necessarily exclusionary for people who don't like sports, because it only becomes this good old boy network when the only way you can get access to someone or you can connect with someone or you can, you know, make an impression is if you know whatever, whether it's a woman in charge and the only way you can get a meeting with her is because you know and understand her favorite brand of nail polish versus, and I'm not saying that to be stereotypical because as Steve will attest to, women do talk about nail polish a lot.
Yeah, I did get sucked into a nail polish vortex one time, yeah.
Yeah, but I think whether it's a guy or whether it's a girl, and no matter the topic, it only becomes a problem if that's the only way that you can connect with them. You have to be open and willing to talk about stuff that you don't even necessarily know much about and to engage your whole team. Otherwise, I mean, I had a boss who understood nothing about my obsession with Japan, and we still got along just fine because he was willing to listen to me and ask me questions about my hobbies.
Right.
The other thing is, you know, when you start talking about leaving people out of conversations, I think all the coverage, you know, give me a percentage of the sports topics that really have transcended sports and really become pop culture, right? You look at all the Terrell Owens stuff. You look at Michael Vick. I mean, really, you have to get down to second and third level details on sports before you're disenfranchising, you know, half or more of your workforce, don't you? What's the percentage?
Yeah, I agree. I think in general it's probably a bit maybe overstated, but definitely, you know, since you brought up Michael Vick, let's just throw this around. We got, you know, a few more minutes. The Michael Vick story, you know, of course, everybody knows it, right? You know, convicted felon, the dogfighting thing, back in the workforce. Just throw it around. Everybody can give a quick answer. Would you bring a guy like Michael Vick into your organization?
My case, I have to say no in this case. That I think he has a lot of talent. Like seeing his first game, seeing the highlights, he still has an arm. I don't know if it is. But what I'm more worried about is after his off, what he does off the field, because he doesn't have the freedom anymore. Like people can take a picture. If he's just walking down a bad street with a bunch of strip clubs and druggies, and someone takes a picture, it will perceive that he did something wrong. That much.
Yeah, whoever's eating their Arby's right now, can you, like,
yeah, please stop
phone
with the crinkling. Tracy, are you eating?
No, I'm not. No.
We know how distracted you are.
That's right.
No, I don't know where the equipment comes. So I was come. Where is it? What happened there? Probably Michael Vick is listening to us, and I'm saying no to him. So he's probably trying to find me and probably
yeah.
Off. But,
I'm trying to find you.
Yeah, Chris, you bringing Michael Vick in? He work for you?
Well, first of all, he's got a felony, right? So
yeah,
that knocks him out of the box. But if he's talented
right.
in an area. And he doesn't disqualify himself through, like, you know, whatever your felony policy is, which, let's face it, most of us have one. You know, if he can get through that, I hire Michael Vick.
Lance, how about you?
I'm in the same boat. If he can help your organization, and, I mean, I think the Philly owner kind of interviewed him the right way. If you believe that's behind him and your organization can use his talents and it's a good agreement all around, I think bring him back.
Yeah. Todd, how about you? You going to present Michael Vick to a client?
I think not to a client. I think that for the most part, most people are replaceable. There's more than one fit for any one position. So I would be looking for someone else.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah. Again, not on the show notes, throwing out the Michael Vick question, but, you know, it's good. Yeah, it's just our sports and HR angle, right? You know, to me, you know, I'm right on the fence on it, but, you know, generally I'm sort of more on the, you know, with what Todd said, you know, I'm sure I can find someone else without all that baggage, I'm thinking, to fill the same role. So,
what he did was pretty freaking horrible.
Yeah, no doubt.
See, I think
Go ahead, Tony.
Well, I was just going to say, I do feel that people need to be given second chances because, I mean, you can't blame someone for what they did their whole life, you know, unless they're some kind of monster. And while I think some people out there think he's a monster for what he did, you know, but still, that is, what he did was horrible. I hate people who mistreat animals.
Yeah. Let's, that's definitely true. Let's, we got about 5 minutes left, and I want to make sure we get to a couple things right at the end. So let's quick run around. We'll do a quick poll of the folks on the line. Who's winning the World Series this year?
Cardinals.
Cardinals?
Cardinals?
No.
God,
who's
winning the
World Series?
American League.
I'll go with the Dodgers.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I mean, yeah, the Dodgers, I mean, it's the Cardinals, the National League is going to be tough. But I just see the Cardinals, like, John Smoltz is suddenly improved. Now he's in St. Louis and out of the Boston limelight. The Dodgers are talented, but, I mean, they've been off track the past couple weeks, so I don't know. So,
yeah, you know, no one said the Yankees. I'm taking the Yankees. Sorry. And I'm not a Yankee fan. I'm a Mets fan, but I'm taking the Yankees. How about the Super Bowl? Who's got the Super Bowl this year?
Super Bowl. Panthers.
Ooh.
Do I have to say the obligatory Vikings?
Brett Favre? What do you think about Brett Favre, Sean?
I think that Brett Favre apparently does hate the city of Mankato, otherwise he would have, you know, shown up and brought the press and attention down to it instead of doing this last-minute crap. Yes, I'm retiring. No, I'm retiring. Whatever.
You know, we should have brought up Brett Favre earlier in the show, but that's okay. It's a good point. Hey, listen, we just got a couple minutes left. I just want to go around and, first of all, thank everybody who called in, the guests on the show tonight. And just, guys, you want to give a shout-out, plug anything, blogs, events coming up, anything you're up to, anything you want to mention, now's your chance. So I'm going to throw it to first. How about you, Todd? Anything you want to plug or mention right now?
No, you know, we're always out looking for people. So if you're looking for a good recruiting firm, someone with a little extensive reach, we've got a unique model with all the independent recruiters we use all over the country. So give us a shout at todd@toddconnect.com.
All right, great, Todd. And we'll make sure that's in the show notes as well. Tracy, how about you? Anything you want to shout out or mention right now?
Yeah, I'm looking for people, looking for jobs, or look particularly in the nonprofit associations and small businesses. You can email me at tracy@tranrecruiting.com, or you can read my blog, the title of the original Tracy Tran, at thispersonstinks.wordpress.com. Yes, that's correct. You can follow me on Facebook and Twitter.
That's awesome.
Nice.
And, Lance, how about you? I know you're on a new venture. Do you want to mention anything about that right now?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I just started with a company called Merit Builder, meritbuilder.com. Just started with them, and they do some great stuff in the employee incentive, employee engagement, company culture. So if anybody's interested in doing something along those lines, get a hold of me. We could do something. We could put together a package pretty competitive. And come check out my blog, yourhrguy.com. It rocks.
Great. All right, Chris, you're up. Anything you want to plug or mention?
Hey, just one new thing. I've got a new set of DVDs on buying and selling real estate that I think is really going to be hot.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I'm joking. Although with the scope and the command that this podcast generates, I might want to be back on in a couple months. I may have a product to market by then.
No.
Real estate market, of course.
It is shocking and almost embarrassing how many times this podcast gets listened to. So I'm glad no one cursed or said anything really embarrassing.
I just like to agree that your HR guy rocks. That's really how I want to end my
exactly.
time.
Yep. I second that.
Your plug is for Lance's blog. That's great.
Yes.
That's the stupidest move I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Go to HRCapitalist.com. That's awesome.
We last working on it. We got about 30 seconds to go.
I think there's a certain website that you spent quite a bit of effort on that you need to plug.
Yes, check out. We got a new site for this show. It's hrhappyhour.net. That's hrhappyhour.net.
It's totally cool.
Some jerk off got the .com, and I couldn't steal it from him. So hrhappyhour.net if you want to check that out. And then, Sean, anything else? We've got 15 seconds.
Nope.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for coming on tonight. It was a great show. I really appreciate it. And we'll see you in 2 weeks for the next HR Happy Hour. Thanks, everybody.
Bye, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Good night.
Bye.